to the temple, and he drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." It is a frequently observed saying that time flies when you're having fun. Time flies, too, when you're immersed in your work, when things are going well, when you're being praised and honored for your insights and your contributions, when you're enjoying a peak experience or a once-in-a-lifetime moment. Time flies. By this criteria, the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey must have been one of the shortest days ever. His disciples and his followers were not shy that day to proclaim their allegiance and their loyalty. The crowds were receptive to his presence and enthusiastic over his promises as he made his way into the heart of the city. The committed, the curious, even the skeptical all came out to see him. And whether they believed it yet or not, thousands had a chance to hear, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus may have known that it was only temporary, but still, it must have felt good to be buoyed up, at least for the moment, by the love, gratitude, and hope of those he came to save. The destination of the procession that Jesus led into the city that day was the temple. These were the high holy days, and worship in that time and place consisted of making a pilgrimage to the temple where one could pray and make offerings. I was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." It was a song that had been sung on many occasions with true enthusiasm and excitement. It meant, "This is my chance to join in with others, honoring God. Nothing could make me happier." On this occasion, however, the great joy of the day came to a screeching halt when Jesus arrived in the temple courtyard and laid his eyes on a marketplace. Buying and selling and making money, especially off of those who are endeavoring to be faithful, is not worship, declared Jesus. It does not belong in God's house. He proceeded to personally chase out all the merchants and the money changers from the temple. Once that was done, he was able to turn his attention then to the many who had come to him with ailments. He healed and cured all of them. As the day drew to a close, it was clear that Jesus had no longer any chance of laboring in obscurity. As Matthew 21 puts it, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that Jesus did and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry. The shortest day, the day of that stunning entry into Jerusalem, was followed soon after by the longest night. When the end of the week came, Jesus had been taken into custody, interrogated, and crucified. If time flies quickly when you're having fun, it crawls when you are in anguish. We're about to get a glimpse of what the slow passage of time might have been like for those who loved Jesus deeply and were closest to him. The characters in this scene are Mary, the mother of Jesus, John, referred to sometimes as the beloved disciple, and Mary Magdalene, also a devoted disciple. Before we listen in on their conversation, consider this statement written by someone living in our own day and age. As Good Friday approaches, I attempt to imagine what Mary, the mother of Jesus, must have felt. How does a parent live with such deep grief? As a mother, I cannot let myself imagine seeing my child executed. I have tried over the years, and I cannot. It is too painful, too horrific, too terrifying, and too grievous. The Longest Night was written by another author who tried to imagine Mary's grief and her courage. Eternal God, in thorny ways and dark days, the questions rise up within us and around us. Why? How long? And where are you, God? And is it possible that you could bring something good out of even this? The struggle in our souls. We find it hard to be patient and to live with those questions. But you call us to be in the midst of this story. And so as the story unfolds this week, it will all be happening parallel to our lives, in which we go to work or prepare meals or shop or clean the house. This week in which perhaps some of us will have opportunity for rest. Some of our young people will be away at camp. Others will continue their journey through illness in hospital or recovering at home. Many of our neighbors and dear ones far away from home, some in some very dark and trying situations. And as our lives progress and this story, your story, unfolds, O God, we pray that we might be alert to the intersections of where your grace and your power reach in and touch our lives. We pray that we might not let the promise die out, but might cling to hope and await what you will do. We thank you so much for coming to share our human situation, our trials, our struggles, to join with us, to be one of us. And we thank you that when you were here, Lord Jesus, you taught us how to pray so that even in times like this, we would know that there is something we can do. We lift our voices together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.